Friends, on this anniversary occasion and this time of remembrance and thanksgiving, I want to begin by sharing once more some words written by someone who's here in worship with us this morning. Mary. Yes. 2 years ago, at the time of our 170th anniversary, you wrote a short poem concerning Alberton Church. And I want to read several verses from that poem to set the scene for who we are and where we are. There is a simple red brick building standing on an acre of land, constructed by faith and love, blessed by God's mighty hand. The heavy old door swings open to reveal a comforting place where gentle arms surround you in a welcoming embrace. Several pews now are empty, and as I look around me there, I think of those who have gone before up Jesus' heavenly stair. The sun shines through the windows and dances across the floor, a joyful message from above, and I need nothing more. This is a simple red brick building. All are welcome here. No matter where life's journey led you, you can enter without fear. And the Lord said, "Welcome home." Friends, 170 years ago, actually 172 years ago, a group of people almost the same size as this group gathered here this morning constituted the charter membership of Alberton Presbyterian Church. I think I can safely say they weren't thinking about 172 years later. They were thinking about their desire and need of the moment to gather as a people of God, to establish a pattern of worship together. Prior to that time, they had no doubt worshiped together in people's homes and on occasions as they were able to do so. But they were now reaching the point where they could regularly gather for worship and establish themselves as a congregation of Christ's church. This year happens to mark the 140th anniversary of this building. Take a look around you. Well, what's changed through the years? But for 140 years, God's people in this place have been meeting in this very room for worship. That's a long time. Now, I know that a number of you in the congregation grew up in what were designated as century farms, farms that had remained in the same family for 100 years. In fact, Ted, you still live in one of them. But for a congregation, to share week by week, and on special occasions too, in a place of worship with continuity for 140 years. That's significant, and we are blessed. Because God certainly has blessed his people here in the Elberton Church through the years. Many of you have shared large portions of your life in this fellowship. And you've tasted some of it. And others, by extension, in family and the stories that have been shared with them, have experienced this through the eyes of others. And you know that God has been there in the midst of his people. Oh, yes, there was effort and lots of human endeavor involved. But what made it happen was God's blessing. And we appropriately pause and express thanks that we are the inheritors of what those who have gone before us have done in the fellowship of God's people in this place. And of course we understand something very basic from the scriptures, and that is God's blessing is always for a purpose. It's always for the purpose of his name being praised and glorified. And here we are now, 172, 140 years, pick whichever number you like. Here we are, conscious that God has blessed, and aware that God blessed for a purpose, and aware that we now, as inheritors of the blessing, must always seek to understand the purpose for which the blessing was given. Now, if you look back over the annals of the history of Elberton Presbyterian Church, you won't find the names of many famous or influential people in terms of the affairs of peoples and nations. You will find a lot of people who contributed very strongly to the life of their own community. But this congregation was never blessed with famous people or influential ones in the grand scheme of things. And maybe that too was a blessing, because famous and influential people don't tend to stay in small country congregations. They take flight off into the world. And yes, they're remembered as to where they began, but mostly as the place from which they left. And God blessed his people here, and he gave them abilities and talents and strengths and resources And they applied them in the life of the congregation and in the life of the community around them. And important and significant things happened as a consequence. And we aren't a group of famous or influential people here this morning either. But we're God's people, blessed by Him. Always striving in our living out of the faith to understand the reasons behind God's blessings as we see the ways in which He has given gifts to His people, to understand how He intends us to apply them in our lives and in the life of faith in the Church of Jesus Christ and in our life of fellowship together and in our commitment to the community around us in the name of Jesus Christ. This congregation, I'm sure, over the years was not without its struggles and challenges. Most of them don't get documented. But you know, Alberton was always a farming community. And one of the consequences was that when crops and production were bad in a given year because of weather and seasons, things could be meager. And I'm sure that the Alberton congregation lived through some sparse seasons, as did the people who made up its community. One of those little incidents did get noted in the congregation's history, because just 8 years after this building was built, there was a very strong wind and the east facade of the building was damaged a bit, and the gable on the east end, and they had a bit of a crisis. They needed $58.60 to cover the damages, and they didn't have it. Those numbers may seem very paltry to us. We have to adjust them for the times, because that was 1886. But nevertheless, even in 1886, it wasn't an incredibly large sum. And they had a congregational meeting to deal with it. And it was noted in the recording of this event that this $58.60 represented approximately 1/5 of the annual budget of the congregation. So you do the math, it was somewhere around $300. Times were not plush. And there were challenges. But the building's still here. Somehow, from some direction or other, from some degree of cooperation or other, the money was found, the bills were paid, the congregation continued. Now, small communities go through transition because Well, the village of Elberton, which kind of isn't a village anymore. I mean, in the old classic sense of defining a village, you had a general store and a post office, at least. And in earlier times than that, you had a blacksmith shop and you had a few other things that entitled you to be considered to be a village. Well, now we have roads. And they go through and past. But the cars don't necessarily stop. And we have all observed small communities go through transition. And we've read the stories. And you can read the story about Elberton too. I mean, where's the cheese factory? Where are the inns? Where are the livery stables? Where's the blacksmith shop? Well, it used to be almost where we are seated, one of them did at least, before it burned down. But small communities go through transition. The post office disappears. The general store gets bypassed in favor of the nearby community that's a bit larger. And the schools get amalgamated and everybody gets on a bus. And I'm not saying, not passing judgment on that transition. It's part of the dynamics of a changing society. But it also has its implications for congregations in small communities. Because in many places, not unlike Elberton, which have lost many of the features that would have constituted its definition as a village in times past, the churches have gone too. And here we are. So what's our future look like? Hard to say, isn't it? But let me offer some things for you to think about. As I said at the outset, the number of us here today is just about the same as the number of charter members. In fact, I think, I didn't do a count, but I think we've got a couple more. And that extended out for 172 years. So, small isn't necessarily desolation. And, you know, today we look at ourselves and we say, well, we're a small and we're an aging congregation. What's going to happen? Will God provide? But, you know, we are blessed. We're blessed with compassionate people of faith, and that makes for an appealing community. And there are people who may not know exactly what they're looking for, but a community of faith in which there is closeness, care, compassion, is much desired by many people. Oh, I know different people have different impressions of what it is they look for from their Christian congregation. I mean, some people want to worship in a cathedral, and I'd have to say, doesn't make it. Alberton doesn't make it. Nobody confuses us with a cathedral. Some people want to have their worship experience in the midst of a large congregation, you know, hundreds and hundreds. And Alberton doesn't make it. If we had hundreds and hundreds, we wouldn't have anywhere to put them. But there are many people who desire something more personal than that. Some place where faith can come right into the ordinary conversations of the people that gather for worship Sunday by Sunday. Some place where people are not even just names. In some places you aren't even that, but where you're a person, where your needs are known, where your hopes and dreams are shared, and where your aspirations for life are discussed. And that, by the grace of God, we can offer to the world. And you see, I take you back to that statement that if God blesses us, then we have to reckon with what he intends and what his purposes were in that blessing. The challenge for us is having such a community, how do we make it known? How do we draw others in? How do we begin more, should I say, systematically sharing faith in the community of which we're a part? Because there was a time when everyone who knew Alberton at all knew about Alberton Church. And now it's that little red brick building by the side of the road. We have to put a name and a face on it. We have to identify ourselves with it. We have to demonstrate the character of the fellowship that we experience here as we encounter other people. And we don't do that just with the intention of drawing them in. We do it with the intention of sharing faith. But then again, if they need a church home, we know where they can find one. You see, I'm not persuaded that our purpose here has yet been fulfilled. I think there are times when Christian congregations come to the end of their days and one can say, well, in the time and place, they served their generation well. But I'm not sure that at all, that's the sort of take we should have concerning Alberton. We read, or Michelle read for you this morning from Joshua. In And Joshua was taking over, if you will, the leadership of Israel after the death of Moses. And God was giving him instructions as to both the blessing that would be coming to them by his grace and the responsibilities that would be theirs as a consequence. And he ends that brief passage in Joshua 1 that Michelle read, "Be strong and courageous. Do not be frightened or dismayed, for the Lord your God is with you wherever you go." And so I encourage you to think about not just the past. When you think about the past, say thank you. But think about the present and say, "Lord, you blessed us. Where do you want us to go from here? How do you want us to apply the blessings that you've given to us as an inheritance and that you continue to provide for us day by day? How do you want us to exercise those gifts, because we know you gave them for a purpose?" And may in our response, his name ever be praised. Mary, thank you for your poem. It has a very present and future perspective about it, and I commend it to you. I don't know whether there's a copy of it posted anywhere in the building. I'll have to make sure that one is put up. And I encourage you, as God's people in this place, not to just feel that you're marking time here in Alberton till its days are done, but that you're here living as God's people, eager to understand where he wants you to go next. Friends, this is good news. Thanks be to God.